This is The Janet Murray Show, episode 359.
You're listening to The Janet Murray Show. Tune in every week for practical marketing advice that will help you make more money in your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to create an email newsletter that people can't wait to open and read. As ever, I'm going to be sharing lots of practical tips and tactics. I'll share lots of case studies and examples. And one thing I really would recommend that you do once you finish listening is that you go and subscribe to some of the email newsletters that I talk about in this episode. I will put links to those in the show notes. I also want to say that this episode is suitable for you if you have a product or a service-based business. It's suitable for you at any stage of your career. Lots of ideas for you, lots of inspiration. The other thing that I want to add before I get into the content is that you will hear me talk about my media diary quite a lot in this episode. And if you don't know what it is, it's an A4 desk diary that you can use to plan out your content for the coming year. It's got key dates and awareness days and planning tools to help you come up with content ideas. Now, you might find yourself listening to this episode. If you've got a diary already, then great. But if you find yourself listening to it and kicking yourself and thinking, why didn't I get one of those diaries? Then I have got some good news for you. We have already started work on the 2020 media diary. So as I'm recording this, it's July 2019, and we've already started working on next year's. However, I do have a limited number of 2019 diaries left as we're halfway through the year. Then we are offering those at a discounted price now. So if you head over to the link that I'm going to give you now, or you make a note of it, it's janetmurray.co.uk/diary offer. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/diary offer. You can pick yourself up one of my 2019 media diaries at a really special podcast listeners only price. Of course, we're halfway through the year now, but people are still buying them, and you can get yours as a special podcast listeners price. So head over there and take a look. So now, on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to create an email newsletter that people actually look forward to receiving. They're really happy when they see it pop into their inbox. But before we get into the content, I just wanted to share with you the most important thing I'm going to teach you in this episode. And if you remember nothing else from this episode, I want you to remember this. Your email newsletter is not about you. So I'm just going to say that again. Your email newsletter is not about you. So unless you're like some super famous celebrity, you're like one of the Kardashians or something, and people are fascinated with your life or your business, then your newsletter shouldn't be you sharing tidbits of news about what you've been up to. It should be totally focused on your ideal clients and indeed your current clients as well. So you need to be creating content in your newsletter, which is whatever your ideal customers or clients need from you. You need to solve their problems, and whatever that might look like for you, and we will talk more about that in this episode, that's what you need to be doing. Your newsletter isn't about you jumping on to share what you've been up to this week, and hopefully you'll be relieved to know that as well. Okay, so I'm going to take you through a series of questions. These are the most frequently asked questions I get about email newsletters. And I'm going to start off by something, with something I should say, really simple. And it's this: what is an email newsletter? Now, you might be thinking at this stage, Janet, like, don't patronize me. Like, why are you even bothering to try and explain what an email newsletter is? But actually, I find that when I'm talking to my clients about this, sometimes they are a little bit confused. So that's why I wanted to start off by just establishing what we mean by an email newsletter. So an email newsletter is basically any regular email that you send out to, it could be your existing clients, it could be prospective clients, but anybody basically that you want to build a relationship with. And where people go wrong with email newsletters is they often feel that it has to be like an actual newsletter. So it has to have a fancy layout, it has to have pictures, it has to look like a beautiful magazine. It does not. It could literally just be an email with two sentences on that you send every week or every month or every quarter, whatever you decide in terms of your frequency. It doesn't actually have to be a newsletter in the kind of the sense that you would think of if you were thinking about a printed newsletter. It's literally just a regular email that you send. So I wanted to get that cleared up so that we're all on the same page to start off with. So what makes a really great newsletter? Well, actually, I think there's loads of comparisons to be drawn between your email newsletter and a lead magnet. If you're not sure what a lead magnet is, it's basically a resource, or it could be a free download, some kind of content that you create as a magnet for your ideal customers or clients. So if you have a service-based business, it could be a cheat sheet or a checklist. If you have a product-based business, maybe it could be a discount code or something like that, but it's something that you create specifically to attract your ideal client or customer. And I say that there's lots of parallels to be drawn between your email newsletter and your lead magnet. And I guess what I really should say is that your email newsletter is a lead magnet, is a way that you attract your ideal clients and actually maybe even keep your existing clients like really warm. And it's a way that you build that relationship, you grow that relationship, you build that know, like, and trust factor. So actually, I think an email newsletter is a lead magnet. And if you've listened to any of my previous episodes about creating email lead magnets, you may have heard me say this: a good lead magnet should do four things, and a newsletter is exactly the same. So it should solve a specific problem for a specific type of person. It should offer a transformation or some kind of potential transformation. So by the end of reading your newsletter, or actually, you know, by the way, your newsletter doesn't have to be a written newsletter. It could be a video. It could be some audio, it could be some visuals, it doesn't actually have to be writing. But by the time people have finished engaging with your newsletter, they should have moved from A to B. Now, A to B might be that you've taught them something and they've now learned something that they can implement in their business or in their life that's going to help them. It could actually be that you've just taken them from, you know, feeling a bit fed up and down in the dumps to feeling like positive and happy again. It doesn't have to be a massive shift, but there needs to be some kind of transformation. You need to offer some kind of quick win, ideally. And fourth, really crucially, your newsletter needs to have a clear objective. And ideally, it should be leading towards a product or a service that you sell. So I'm just going to run through those four things again. So number one, your newsletter should solve a specific problem for a specific type of person. It should offer some kind of transformation. So by the time people have finished engaging with your newsletter, they've been changed somehow. Ideally, it should offer a quick win. So something that people can implement like quickly and see the results like quite quickly. And it should have a clear objective. And ideally, that objective should be to tell the world or let people know about something that you've got to sell. Or it could even be a piece of content that you want people to read, or it could be a blog post that you want people to engage with, but it needs to be a clear objective. So I'm going to give you some examples now of some really good newsletters that I've seen from business owners that I know. So first up, and if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, you might have heard me mention this before, but Sarah Tasker, who is the Instagram expert, Sarah Tasker, I should say, she certainly had up until recently, I think she does still have it actually, a monthly newsletter, which is called, I think it was called Hashtag Authentic, or is that her book? But basically, she has a monthly newsletter in which she shares really useful hashtags. So when that newsletter plops into your inbox once a month, you know that you're going to get all the latest hashtags. You can go and use them on Instagram. So she's solving a problem. So, you know, having to go out and research hashtags on Instagram, which can be a bit of a pain. She's offering a transformation. So, you know, when you open the email, you don't know what those hashtags are going to be. You know, you've got some work ahead of you doing some research. So she's helped you with that. She's offered a transformation. She's also offered a quick win, because you've got those 20 or 30 or so hashtags and you've got them in your inbox and you can start to use them. And clearly for Sarah, there's an objective in there, because she runs regular online courses helping people to grow their Instagram following and to get better on Instagram. So clearly there's a sales intention there. I have a couple of newsletters that I send out, and, you know, they're not traditional newsletters in the sense of the word that we talked about at the beginning, in terms of, you know, they're not sort of laid out with pictures and they don't look like a magazine or anything. They're literally just regular emails that I send out. So the first one, every Friday, I send an email out about my latest podcast episode, letting people know what it's about and giving them a bit of a kind of teaser and giving them the link to go and listen to it or read it as a blog post. I also have another regular newsletter that I send out, which is for my media diary. So anybody who buys a copy of my media diary gets a monthly newsletter. And if you don't know about my media diary, actually, it's an A4 desk diary that you can use to plan out your content for the coming year. It's got key dates, it's got awareness days, it's got planning tools in there. And one of the challenges that we have with the media diary is when we put it together, we actually research all the dates for the next year about this time of year. So some of the dates haven't been confirmed. Some of the dates might change. There might be new things come along. There might be new books. There might be new films. There might be new events, which would be fantastic for people to have in the diary, but they're not available at the time that we create it. So what we do instead is we send out a monthly newsletter. So anybody who buys the diary gets this monthly newsletter with additional dates. They get new films, books, TV shows, things that they, you know, we wouldn't have known about when we were putting the diary together, new ideas, new awareness days. Sometimes if a date has changed, we can update people on that. So people see that as a really valuable resource, and people often email back and say, thank you so much for that newsletter. It's just given me a really fantastic idea for a piece of content, or it saved me time planning my content for the next month because I've now got a whole host of new ideas. So that's a couple of examples for you. Another one that someone mentioned when I was doing research for this episode, I was asking my friends on Facebook, actually, what newsletters do you subscribe to and you really look forward to receiving? And somebody said Baby Center. And I was like, yes, I remember those. So when you're pregnant, you can sign up to the Baby Center emails and it will send you an email every week of your pregnancy. And so, you know, week 16, your body will be starting to change in this way. You might be experiencing these symptoms. Week 20, week 24, you might have had your 24-week scan. And I remember getting those emails and really enjoying them and kind of looking forward to them because I was going to learn about, you know, new changes to my body, new symptoms that I might have, or what size my baby was going to be. So it's something that I really looked forward to receiving in my inbox. And just to give you an idea, so it solves a very specific problem for a specific type of person. So somebody who is pregnant and wants, you know, to kind of know more about the changes that are happening to their body and what size their baby is and all that kind of like exciting stuff that, particularly when you're pregnant for the first time, is really exciting to know. It offers a transformation. So by the when I open the email, there's information, you know, that I learn during the reading of that email that I didn't know before. So it's kind of, you know, probably made me feel a bit more excited by the time I've read the email because I now know what these changes are, what these new symptoms are. I now know what size my baby is. So the transformation, quick win. So I'm getting all of that information in just a few minutes. And with Baby Center, in terms of the objective, why do Baby Center create newsletters like that? Well, ultimately, although their content is free, or most of their content is free, they have online forums. So obviously what they're hoping people will do is, you know, spend more time on the site, read more articles, join in the online forums. But why do they want that? Because they want to attract advertisers, because that's how they generate money. So there's a clear objective in creating that newsletter. They're adding value, but they've also got a clear sales objective in there as well. So there's Park Run. So if you don't know about Park Run, it's a weekly timed 5K run. It happens all over the UK, in fact, all over the world. They have a, I think it's a weekly newsletter that they send out, and they have different bits of information about park runs. So they do lists. So like one week they might do the hardest park runs in the UK. Another week they might do the hilliest park runs. Another week somebody told me that they did park runs with numbers in the title. And you know, if you like park run, I like it. It's a community. It's a movement. They also have inspiring stories as well. Then you kind of look forward to reading it. That usually has some nice photos in it. And, you know, it's a really nice read. It's the kind of thing that I might read, you know, when I'm taking a break and having a cup of tea in the morning. It's a nice read. Another few quick examples for you. So somebody mentioned when I was doing research on this Marie Forleo. So Marie Forleo is the online business and marketing expert. She puts out a video every Tuesday. It's called Q&A Tuesday. And she sends an email to tell people what the video is about. If you like Marie Forleo, if you want practical tips to help you in your business, then you're going to look forward to getting that email and seeing what Marie's latest video is. It's, you know, it's a bit like I do with my podcast every Friday. If you like somebody's content, you want to know what their latest episode is. You want to know whether there's something useful for you this week. And another example, You Are the Media. So I spoke at an event recently called You Are the Media down in Bournemouth. And Mark Masters, who runs that event, he sends out an email every Thursday at 6 a.m. which has all sorts of information and helpful tips and ideas around content marketing. So again, you kind of look forward to it because it's usually got something interesting in it. It might have a tool, it might have some interesting reading, it might just have some interesting ideas. If you're interested in content marketing, if you're looking for ideas, if you're looking for inspiration, it's a really nice thing to land in your inbox every single week. So I hope what's come across so far is, first of all, this is not about you. This is about you solving problems for your ideal customer, your existing customers, in fact. And it's about you providing really valuable content that makes a difference for people. And how that looks in your business, it really depends on what it is that you do. So in my case, it's about creating really practical, hands-on, tactical advice that people can go and apply in their business. for you, depending on what it is that you do, it could be that you're just, you know, cheering somebody up. It could be that you're making somebody laugh. It could be that, you know, you're helping somebody to change their behavior, and that and changing that behavior is going to have a positive impact on their life. So depending on what it is that you do, you just need to think, what is the problem that I'm solving for my ideal customer or client? Like, how can I help them in this email? And how you help them might look different depending on your business, but hopefully I've given you quite a range of examples there. Okay, so how do I know what kind of content I should be including in my newsletter? I get asked this question a lot. Well, I wish I could tell you exactly what to include in your newsletter that would get you fantastic open rates and engagement, and it would all be fantastic, but I'm afraid I can't. You're going to have to be brave. You're going to have to experiment, and you're going to have to just put some content out there and see what lands. And when you're putting content out there and you're experimenting, obviously the downside of that is that some content may not land with your audience, and some emails will do better than others. You might have people unsubscribe, which is horrible when it happens, but please don't take it personally. But it's only if you're brave enough to put some content out there and test it out that you'll get the feedback that you need. But of course, if you already have a little bit of an audience, the best thing you can do before you start putting out a newsletter is to ask them, these are the ideas that I've got for the newsletter. Which of these would you prefer? What I wouldn't do is put out a post on your Facebook page or email the list that you've got already, or go into your Facebook group and say, I'm thinking of starting a newsletter. What ideas have you got for me? That's too open. You'll probably find that you won't get much of a response. But if you can maybe just give people 3 to 5 ideas and, you know, these are the kind of things I've got in mind, which of them would you find most helpful? And you'll probably find that not only will people tell you the ones that they think are most helpful, they'll also give you additional ideas as well. But then you need to go and test. And unfortunately, there's no way around that. The only way to find out is put the content out there and see what happens. Another question I get asked a lot is, how long should my newsletter be? My answer to that is, it's as long as it needs to be. So I know people who send 2 or 3 sentences of an email every single week, and that adds value to their audience. That's all that they need to do. My email that I send every week about my podcast is often, I don't know, 100 words or something like that, but that's all it needs to be. I'm just letting people know about a valuable piece of content that they might want to listen to or might want to read as a blog post. It doesn't need to be any longer than that. So don't stress about the length of it. Just think about, how long does it need to be in order for me to achieve my objective and for me to solve the problems of my ideal customers? Next question I get asked a lot is, does it need to include pictures or have a fancy layout? And the answer to that is no. Often I think when I see people procrastinating about starting newsletters, that's often what they say. And particularly people who've got product-based businesses, they'll say to me, well, I don't have time to take loads of photos of my stock. I don't have time to create all of this content. I don't have time to make it look beautiful. You don't actually need to. There's one email that I get regularly from a lady called Alexandra Franzen, who's a writer. And to be honest, I couldn't even really tell you what they're about, but they're just really beautiful emails. They're just really nice to read. They usually tell a story about something that's happened to her. And there's usually a kind of like moral to the story. There's a sort of key takeaway that you can go and apply in your life. They're just beautifully written. I enjoy reading them. It gives me a kind of nice feeling. It cheers me up when I get to the end of them. So it doesn't necessarily have to have any pictures at all. It can literally just be text. And both of my newsletters are just text. We don't even put any pictures in them at all. So don't stress about that. The other thing, I've touched on this already, is if you're not a writer, your newsletter could be a video. So it could just be a couple of lines with a link to a video. It could be an infographic. It could be a link to a piece of audio or a podcast like mine. So don't worry about pictures or fancy layout. If you want to do that and you've got the resources to do that, great, but plain text can work just as well. It really is about adding value through your content. So the next question I get asked a lot is, how often should I send out my newsletter? And my answer is this: as often as you feel that you need to, and probably more often than you think. So with my podcast, it's pretty obvious. I have a new podcast episode that comes out every Friday. So it makes sense for me to send a weekly email letting people know that I have a new podcast episode, because I'm adding value. I'm not, you know, not spamming or annoying people. I'm saying, look, you've signed up to my list. You're clearly interested in learning about how to build your online audience and online marketing. So here's something that you might find useful. So I have no qualms whatsoever about emailing people once a week to tell them about my podcast. Sarah Tasker, who has the really useful Instagram newsletter I talked about earlier, hers goes out monthly, I think, and I'm assuming that it goes out with that frequency because that's how often she needs it to go out to keep her audience building and growing that know, like, and trust factor in order to be able to fill up her Instagram courses. Anne Handley, when I was doing my research for this podcast episode, there's a content marketing expert called Anne Handley, and lots of people said that they love her emails. She sends hers out every 2 weeks. They're really nice reads. She usually starts off with a story about something that's happened in her life, and then she kind of relates it back to content marketing and content creation. And, you know, there's some kind of nice, useful takeaways there. But she's got a really lovely personal voice. You feel like she's just speaking, like, just to you. And that's one of the reasons why people love her emails. She's gone for fortnightly. I'm assuming, as with all good marketers, that she's tested that out. And that's really what I would say to you about this. You just have to test it out, and you just have to throw spaghetti at a wall and see what happens. I think that when it comes to email generally, most people are far too hesitant, which is why I say you probably can send it out more frequently than you think you can. So when we're discussing this question in my membership, my Build Your Audience membership, we have a group coaching call every Monday, and this question comes up a lot. And people will start off by saying, well, you know, how often do you think I should send out my newsletter? Or, well, you know, maybe once a month. And usually I've managed to talk them into sending it more frequently. And as long as you're keeping an eye on the stats, as long as you're keeping an eye on how many people are unsubscribing or how many people are getting in touch with you and letting you, you know, saying to you, oh, this is too much, whatever, and you're keeping an eye on that and responding to that, you will be absolutely fine. But I would say genuinely, you can probably, most people are more hesitant than they need to be, and you can probably email in most situations a lot more than you think you can. And don't panic if you do get some unsubscribes. Like, you know, if you get a few unsubscribes, that is perfectly normal. It doesn't mean that your email newsletter is a flop. And you may also get your person emailing you back saying this is too frequent. If you've got a lot of people doing that, then you might want to take that into account. But, you know, one or two people is probably nothing to worry about. The other thing I would say, another little tip that I would give you, is to make sure that in the content that you create for your newsletter, you're always creating opportunities for people to talk back to you. So I noticed, for example, when I signed up for Anne Handley's fortnightly emails, I noticed that the very first email I got from her was asking me to hit reply and let her know why I decided to sign up for her newsletter. So it's really about creating conversations. So whatever content you decide to create, try and create opportunities for people to email you back, like hit reply and let me know what was the most useful thing in this particular newsletter, or hit reply and let me know what you think about this or whatever. Just try and create those opportunities for conversation, because that's when you'll get your feedback as well. If people are enjoying your newsletters, they will want to email you back and get in a conversation with you, and you don't need to stress so much about unsubscribes or people saying you're emailing too much. What you're looking for is that genuine feedback and connection. And if people are emailing you back, if they're wanting to get in a conversation with you, then that's a really good sign. So really create opportunities for that to happen. Another question I get is, should I send my newsletter to everyone on my list? So obviously, due to GDPR regulations, you can't just go around like sending emails to anybody. Obviously, you can't go adding people to your list or whatever. If you've already got people on your email list and they haven't specifically said that they want to receive your newsletter, it's probably wise, or it can be wise, to send an email saying, I'm going to be sending out a newsletter every Friday. Would you be interested in receiving it? However, you know, there is a case for legitimate interest. If somebody is on your email list because they're interested in the kind of things that you're going to be talking about in your newsletter, and particularly if you've got a product-based business and they've bought your products from you before, or, you know, actually if you've got a service-based business and people have, you know, bought your services before, then there is actually, you know, quite a good argument for legitimate interest. It's not like you're sending people, you know, they've signed up to your marketing tips and you're sending them information about buying a new fridge. You know, if it feels like there's, you know, you're sending them content that really they would be interested in, and you know that because they're already on your list and because they've signed up for something very relevant, then I think there's quite a strong case for legitimate interest. If you want to know more about the GDPR regulations, one person I would suggest that you check out is Suzanne Dibble, I should say. She was my guest on the podcast on episode 245. So do check all of that out. But do remember that if somebody has already bought from you or they've already signed up to something which is very relevant, then there may well be a case there for legitimate interest. But as happens with quite a few of my clients, if your email list, if you've been neglecting it a bit and you haven't emailed them for a while, and you're worried that you've got people on your list who maybe aren't going to be interested in the content of your newsletter, you know, that might be a scenario in which you'd want to send out an email and, you know, actively get people to opt in to receive it. Okay, so that leads nicely on to my next commonly asked question. How do I get people to subscribe to my newsletter? Okay, good tip for you here. Don't say to people, would you like to subscribe to my newsletter? If you think about it from your point of view, like how much do you want to subscribe to a newsletter for a company or a person that you don't actually know that much about? So instead of saying subscribe to my newsletter, really focus on the value that you're adding. So Sarah Tasker says something like, sign up to my hashtag authentic newsletter. I think it's hashtag authentic, to get all a list of all the latest Instagram hashtags. So when I see that, I'm like, okay, great. You know, this is going to really add value to me. Somebody's not just asking me to sign up to some newsletter about some stuff and they're going to send me some stuff every month. It's going to be useful stuff. I know it's useful because she said what it's going to be. For example, with our Media Diary newsletter, you know, we make it really clear that if people want to subscribe to that, then they're going to get additional awareness days and key dates that they can use to help with their content planning. So I'm not just saying sign up to the Media Diary newsletter, sign up to the Media Diary newsletter to get additional dates and additional awareness days that you can use in your content planning. So never say sign up to my newsletter or put something on your website that says want to be on my newsletter. Make it really clear how people will benefit by being on your newsletter. So that's my first tip. I've got a podcast episode that has tons and tons of ideas. There's so many different ways that you can promote your newsletter. And it's really similar to a lead magnet. So I've got a podcast episode, which is called 39 Surprisingly Easy Ways to Increase Your Email Subscribers. It's episode 333. And there are 39 really practical ideas on how you can promote your email newsletter. And so rather than regurgitate them all for you here, I would suggest you go over and have a listen to that podcast. There's also a blog post version as well, and it's got tons of ideas as to how you can promote your email newsletter. But, you know, it's the usual advice everywhere where your ideal clients are. So, you know, create Facebook. If you've got a Facebook page or Facebook group, create a banner advertising your email newsletter. Put it on your Twitter header. Put it on your LinkedIn header. Put it on the email signature. Like basically everywhere where you think your ideal clients might be, you should be sharing the link to your email newsletter. And if that's something that you really want to grow in your business, then I would suggest, you know, spending for 60, 90 days or something like that, making that your sole focus. If you think, you know, you really want to grow this newsletter, you really want to have this weekly or monthly or bi-monthly email, whatever it might be that you want to send out to people, and you want to, you know, create like really kind of committed subscribers, then really focus everything on it for a good 60, 90 day period would be my advice. Okay, so the next question that I get asked, and we're getting to the last but one question, is what kind of newsletter can I send if I have a product-based business? So when I speak to product-based business owners, I find they often find it really difficult to get their head around how they can send out a newsletter that is anything but sending people discounts and offers. And you can totally do that. If you have a product-based business, you can just send people like monthly discounts and offers. And if you think about, you know, some of the newsletters that you subscribe to, I subscribe to Oasis, Warehouse, Pizza Express, basically, you know, any kind of brand that I know is going to give me like regular discounts and let me know about sales, then you can completely just go down that route. But if you're looking to build a bit more of a relationship, and if you're looking to be seen as an expert source, and you're looking to build, I don't know, a deeper relationship, because, you know, I find that I would sign up to anything to get a discount or to get notification of when the next sale is. But actually, is that going to create brand loyalty? No, I'm only signing up because I want the Pizza Express discount. It's not because I love Pizza Express particularly. But actually, if you can be a bit more thoughtful about your newsletter, you can create something which almost like creates brand evangelists, like people who actually love you and love your brand. And I think if you have a product-based business, it's really worth thinking about how you could do that, because that will have much more longevity for you in terms of sales in your business. So the key thing about creating a newsletter for a product-based business is that your newsletter shouldn't be about your product, or if you want to create those kind of, you know, that real know, like, and trust factor, you shouldn't just be sending information about your products. What you want to be doing is sending information which is more about how people might use your products, or if they haven't bought from you already, how they might like how they might aspire to use your product. So think about it. That's the difference. So instead of sending people information about your products, what you're trying to do is to give people information about how they might use your products, or indeed products that are like yours. So just to give you an example, my media diary is a physical product that I sell, but I can't very well send out a monthly newsletter giving people information about the media diary. So what I do instead is I think about the problems that people might have with using my media diary. And the problem that they might have is staying consistent, coming up with ideas consistently. So by sending that monthly email, we're solving a problem, because we're, you know, keeping people accountable, reminding them that they've bought the diary and that they've invested in it, and giving them some additional dates. So we're adding value. So another example for you, let's say that you make sheds. So you sell these kind of swanky garden offices or garden rooms. Now, if you were to send out a monthly newsletter where you were just telling people about new stock that you had or new product lines, that's not going to be very exciting or interesting. So what you want to do instead is you want to kind of almost paint the picture of what it would be like, or what it is like, to have one of your swanky garden offices or garden studios. So what you could do is send out tips on how to use it. So, for example, if you've got one of these garden offices or sheds, as I have, you'll know that they get very hot in the summer and they can get quite cold in the winter. So you could send out like tips on, you know, how to heat your garden office, how to keep it cool. You could have tips on how to style your office. You could have tips on how to, like, you know, turn it into a party venue or whatever. And you can make it quite seasonal. So it's about thinking less about the products, but more about the lifestyle and how people might be able to actually use it. Like, you know, how to style your garden office. You know, it's a different furniture that you could buy for your garden office, or different accessories that you could have for it. There's no end to the amount of content that you could create. But what it's about is creating that kind of aspirational content rather than the kind of bog standard, here's what we sell. Now, that's what you're trying to do, is almost like sell the lifestyle. So another example for you is Nadia. So Nadia is one of my clients, and her brand is Penelope Hope. It's gifts and interiors. So she has these beautiful lampshades and cushions with all this beautiful fabric that she's designed. She's also got like wash bags and makeup bags, and she's got tablet cases and laptop cases. And she's also recently brought on board some new product lines. So she's got these fantastic beach bags. I just bought one of those from her. And she also had deck chairs this summer as well. So if I was Nadia, I would be thinking about seasonal newsletters. So for example, for Mother's Day, she could do her monthly newsletter then could be about ideas for gifts for Mother's Day. And in that case, I wouldn't just include your own products. I would include, you know, even if it's your rival's products. The idea is that you're not just flogging your stuff. You're being a useful resource. You're like saving somebody time. You're telling them like where they can get something really nice for their mum. You're not that silly person who's just trying to shove your products down their throat all the time. So you could do it totally on your own products, but actually, you know, a nicer way of doing it might be to include other similar products that you know that your ideal customer would like. Nadia also has these lovely deck chairs that I mentioned. So she could do a newsletter on styling your garden for summer, and she can include her deck chairs in there, but she could also use other products as well, complimentary products. And another idea that Nadia could pick up would be to do, she's got these lovely beach bags now, so to do a newsletter on, you know, the essential kit for the beach in 2019 or something like that. So it's about thinking not about your products and writing copy about your products or showing pictures of your products, although you might be doing that along the way. It's more about thinking about how people might be using them. So I hope that helps if you've got a product-based business and really kind of gives you the distinction between what a lot of people are creating, which is why they're putting newsletters out that aren't really getting great engagement, and what you could do to build longer term brand loyalty and people who just want to keep coming back time and time again, because they don't just see you as somebody who sells products, they see you as an expert in the type of products that you sell. And that really is the crucial difference. And you can really make that clear in your newsletter. It's a great opportunity for you. So the final question I get asked a lot is, should you sell in your newsletter? My answer, of course, to that is absolutely yes. You should be selling in every single newsletter. But what I think you shouldn't be doing is opening your newsletter with lists of products that you've got or new services that you've got. If you do that, then people will start to turn off. So my advice would be to start by adding value. So give people some tips, give them some ideas, but make sure, of course, that you're including your own products and services in your email. So in my weekly podcast email, I often put a little PS. It might be about an event that I've got coming up, it might be about a meetup, it might be about a new playbook I've got, something like that. But I'll often just add it as a PS. If it's really relevant, so for example, with my Media Diary newsletter, when our new diary goes on sale, of course, you know, the people who are currently on my Media Diary newsletter list are, you know, prime customers or, you know, ideal customers to buy it. Again, so we may well devote more of that newsletter to telling people that the new diary is now on sale because we know that these people are already interested in it. But generally, I would say, you know, add value first. Don't just start your newsletter with a massive sell of your products and services. Add value, and then, you know, people will be much more amenable to you talking about your products and services. And actually, if you're just focusing on creating really good, helpful content, I mean, I've mentioned during this podcast, and I'd like to think that I've added lots of value for you. I've answered a lot of your questions, hopefully, about what a great newsletter should look like and what kind of newsletter you should be creating. But along the way, I have mentioned quite a lot of my own products and services. And, you know, obviously, because they're relevant and they're good examples. But of course, you know, if they're going to be helpful to you, I'd love you to buy them. So, you know, I'd be mad not to mention them throughout this episode. But I've actually been doing during this episode, this is kind of a bit meta, but I've been doing what you should be doing in your newsletter, just like weaving in the examples, making sure that, you know, I've used lots of other examples. It's not just my products and services and just, you know, not just my things that I've talked about, but I've been weaving examples of things that you might want to buy from me throughout this podcast episodes. So that might be something that you want to emulate in your newsletter. So you might have got to the end of this podcast episode and you might be thinking to yourself, well, this is all very well, Janet, but you haven't answered one of my questions about how to create a newsletter that people are excited to open. And the question you might be thinking I've missed out is this: how do I actually get people to open the emails? So I'm very well aware that that's something that we do need to cover, but I've been doing some research recently about the length of my podcast episodes. And generally people are saying that the 30 minute to 45 minute mark is about the optimum time. So if I cover that in this episode, it's actually quite a big topic, then I think we could run quite a lot over that kind of time. So what I've decided to do is to record a follow-up episode. So episode 360 will be about how to get people to open your emails, and specifically your email newsletters, but in fact, any emails that you send out. So it's how to come up with really great subject headers. I'll be sharing all of my best tips on how to get people to open your emails. So I hope you found that useful. As ever, I do love hearing from you. These days, my inbox is getting busier and busier. So if you want to let me know what you thought about this episode, then head over to social media. It's probably the best bet. So it's Jan Murray UK on Instagram. I'm over on LinkedIn, just Janet Murray there, and Twitter at Jan_Murray. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you want to get hold of one of my media diaries, if you missed out the first time round, then head over to janetmurray.co.uk/diary offer. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/diary offer to get a 2019 diary at a discounted price.
You've just been listening to The Janet Murray Show. If you enjoyed the show, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more marketing tips that will help you make more money in your business.